And I'm McKenna.
And together we're the Daily Profcast.
We're two long-distance besties
who share a love of Harry Potter.
We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, Daily Profcast listeners. This is McKenna. And I just wanted to hop on and explain a little bit about this episode. So we did a Q&A at the end of our Chamber of Secrets episode when we were wrapping up that conversation. And we did another Q&A with the Ghosts episode for Halloween. Both of those episodes ended up being too long to fit the Q&A in, but we had some good discussions. So you're going to hear two parts, two conversations. The audio might slightly change and it might sound a little choppy, but we're going to have two discussions and then it should play right into our outro music and our sort of goodbye message and then finish out with the music. A little bit of a different episode today, but I do think you'll enjoy it. And we had fun with these Q&As and we're going to do a lot more of them going forward. That's basically it. This is McKenna signing off. I hope you had a happy and safe Thanksgiving if you're in the U.S. And wherever you are, just keep wearing your masks, keep socially distancing. We're far from beating this virus. Bye.
So we have some fan questions I thought we could run through.
Yes.
Yeah. So Ishani H. Patel asks us, do you think that Tom Riddle's manipulation causes Ginny problems in the future?
Absolutely. Yeah, the way I would put it is that it shapes Ginny into who she becomes.
I would agree. I think that Ginny goes from a meek little girl into like an incredibly strong and powerful woman. I think a lot of that is driven by her desire to never be manipulated by somebody ever again.
Yeah, I'm sure Ginny has residual trauma from this year that maybe we don't get to see her deal with
because
the book's not from her perspective.
Right.
I would come out of that with trauma for sure.
Cat 104 says, is Lockhart losing his memories just bad karma for him? I would say more than karma. Yes, karma, but more than karma, I'd say it's ironic because he actually had no real memories of any of the things he wrote about. So it's therefore fitting that he would lose his memory because there wasn't really much there to begin with.
Totally. Totally. He gets what he deserves.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the karma is a good word and irony.
He could just read his books all over again and get the same accounts of what he had before his memory was wiped because there wasn't any substance to his memories of doing any of the things he proclaimed. Chrissy Cat also asked, what is your favorite part of the book?
Definitely the part in chapter 17, The Heir of Slytherin, where Harry has that clap back where he's like, you hate Muggleborn so much, but you were destroyed by my Muggleborn mother.
Yeah.
So good. So powerful.
I would agree. That whole scene in the chamber is pretty
so good.
Chilling so and powerful.
Good. Yeah.
April XVI said, really, how big are the pipes? We want to know too.
April, we want to know the same thing. Give us the blueprints. Somebody give us the blueprints.
Zohar Gazit says, if you could change one thing about the ending of the book, what would you change?
About the ending, I want more severe consequences for Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah, me too. But Lucius definitely deserved to be tried in a court of law and appropriately punished by the law for both his deeds during the First Wizarding War and this incident.
That's attempted manslaughter
of
children.
Yeah.
It's attempted murder.
How much he do you knows, really
he
hate
knows what
muggles.
The basilisk can do. Yeah. He deserves more consequences. If Lucius had gone to, maybe not Azkaban to be tortured by Dementors, but if Lucius had been locked away sooner, I think Draco might have ended up into a better person.
Agreed. Maybe Narcissa would have like divorced him and married a nice man.
I don't know. People pretend like Narcissa's like a victim, and maybe in some ways she is, but I think Narcissa's probably also
I think
not
Narcissa's
great.
Like the Cersei Lannister.
She just cares about protecting her son. Exactly.
Yeah. Emily Scarlet Reader says, okay, but like Tom Riddle is hot, right?
The actor who plays Tom Riddle is aesthetically pleasing. Do we know how old the actor is? Should we be talking about this?
He was a cute when we were kids. Now he's an adult, so we can say that he is cute. I definitely thought he was cute as a child. I probably would still think he's cute now.
I was a little bit too afraid of him to think he was, I was like, that is an attractive person. I'm crapping my pants at how scary you are.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's interesting to think about, that he is specifically portrayed to be as attractive because that's one of the ways he charmed people, was his good looks.
It's sort of like Lockhart.
Yes,
like, he can get what he wants because he's conventionally attractive.
Yeah. CM Silveria says, how much do you two believe Draco knew of Malfoy Sr.'s plot?
I don't know that Lucius would have trusted his son with that information. And Draco is a big mouth. Like, Draco, if he can say anything to make himself look good, he will. And like, when Harry and Ron were impersonating Crabbe and Goyle, Draco didn't really know anything. So I don't think Draco knows much. I don't think Lucius trusted Draco with that information.
Libby Sud Weeks, I hope I'm saying that right, says, why don't the ghosts know about the chamber and where it is if they can go through walls?
That is a fantastic question.
Like, literally.
Do they not? Yeah, if I was a ghost, I would just spend my time like exploring all the parts of Hogwarts. You would think they would be able to. Well, it's pretty far under the school. I don't know. That's a really great question, Libby.
It's a really good question, Libby. Thank you. Marie OG says, in myths, a basilisk has two foes, a phoenix and a weasel. Thoughts on the Weasley connection?
What? Where's the part about the weasel? Oh, in myths.
In myths.
I wonder if she was thinking about that when she, had she planned that out when she named the Weasleys? And what does that have to do with Ginny? You know, that's a really good question. I'm going to have to do more research on that. What a fantastic insight.
Carolee, I hope I always say her name right. Carolee. Hall says, could Hagrid use magic after Chamber of Secrets?
No, not in the books, but...
Well, Hagrid was always sort of unofficially using magic.
Totally.
And I think we have to remember that pretty much all of his magical education was a wash because of what happened to him when he was in school. So he probably can't use magic beyond what he already knows. Yeah, I think magic is something that's well-developed when you're in your youth, and then if you don't develop it properly, you maybe could lose it or not be, it's not always like an achievable adult skill.
I don't think I made this up. I think I read it on like an old Tumblr headcanon of, I don't remember if it was after Chamber of Secrets or after the Deathly Hallows, of Hagrid getting to be a student at Hogwarts again and retake all his classes and get to use magic.
Elise Burke says, thoughts on the theories about Draco sending Dobby and giving them the page about the basilisk?
I don't think Draco helped them at all. I think he didn't know anything and he seemed pleased by all the attacks. I'm sorry, guys.
It's a nice thought, but it's just not reality.
Maybe in an alternate universe, but if that was the case, he definitely would have been trying to help them more.
Yeah, for sure.
There was more he could have done and he didn't. We see it in his conversation when Harry and Ron are impersonating Crabbe and Goyle.
We also see him call Hermione a mudblood and tell Harry and Ron when they were under Polyjuice Potion that he wishes she would die. So yeah. It feels inconsistent.
Yeah. We are not simping for Draco here at the Daily Broadcast.
But Barrett says, my brother threw up on my new shoes when we saw Chamber of Secrets in theaters because of Ron's slugs. That's not a question, but that's pretty gross. Last question. From Lilo is the Best, 2008. The head of Chamber of Secrets is Salazar Slytherin's head with Ingorgio and Frozen, ?
I've never heard that theory before.
But Severed I think head. It's stone. I think like we know it's like a carved.
Yeah. But the
also his full body. It's a statue of his full body. So
in the book, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting theory you've come up with though. I love that creativity.
It is creative, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's it on questions. Okay. I have recorded a whole bunch of questions that people have sent in, and I thought maybe we could do some questions on ghosts. So our first question that we got from a listener says, how do Peeves the Poltergeist become a Hogwarts ghost? And this was Ryan A. Ross 25. So Peeves is not a ghost, short answer.
Peeves is a poltergeist and was like generated. We don't know how. He just came into being.
Love that.
Love that for Peeves.
Abby, I think 1110 on Instagram says, how do you become a ghost and how do you become a ghost at Hogwarts? So we already kind of spoke about you become a ghost. It's basically its intention. So you either are finished with your time on Earth and you face death sort of bravely and with a ready to go attitude, or you have something that's tying you back to the mortal world. But ghosts at Hogwarts, and we got a lot of questions like this, they're not forced to be at Hogwarts, with the exception of Moaning Myrtle, who was ordered by the ministry to live out her ghostly existence at Hogwarts. So, like, Sir Nicholas can come and go. They can all come and go as they please. Like, the Grey Lady was murdered in a forest in Albania, and then she ends up back at Hogwarts. So, it's at will.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's just like, oh yes, these are the Hogwarts ghosts, or if like somebody asks them to be the specific house ghost, if there's an interview process, what are their credentials have to be? like if there's, you know, because there's only four of them.
Do you think it's a little bit of nepotism that Helena Ravenclaw probably got to be? It's very Trump probably. Family of them.
It's also, but also like, you know, I know Helena Ravenclaw's supposed to be pretty quiet and reserved, but how cool if you're a Ravenclaw to like go ask about the founder of your house.
I know, it's like, so interesting. I don't think that
happens very often, but like you could.
I think Luna spoke with Helena Ravenclaw.
Luna did. She was friends with Luna, yeah.
Which is endearing in so many ways. Luna's just such a special.
Sweet Luna.
Yeah. What a wonderful little girl. What happened to them, the ghost, during the Battle of Hogwarts and the rebuilding? This is Chloe Cricket 62.
I don't remember the answer to that.
So I did some reading on this, and while we don't have an official answer, there is general consensus among the fandom that the ghost remained at Hogwarts and helped quickly deliver messages around the castle about strategy and movement and sort of where to position people who could fight. Peeves, of course, not being a ghost who can't pick up objects and such, he can because he's a poltergeist, so he helped fight in the battle by holding objects and throwing them at the Death Eaters, etc. And so, like I said, the ghosts were not permanently assigned to Hogwarts, so I think that they probably likely maybe left or relocated to new parts of the castle as the rebuilding was going on.
I love that. I'll be watching for that when we get to Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, I don't think we have much specific knowledge, but we do see in other parts of the book where Dumbledore will say to Snape or someone, for example, like, go alert, can you ask like so-and-so to go deliver a message to somebody else, you know, because they can pass through the walls. And
they act as like messengers and guides.
When you see how many stairs Hogwarts has, like, for the time of like a professor to run across the campus to find another professor, they could as easily just ask, you know, like Snape could ask the Baron, could you go deliver a message to, you know, McGonagall or whatever. It's a much more efficient way of communication in the castle.
Yeah.
Hogwarts House 1980 says, can the ghost theoretically die or move on in any way? What are your thoughts with that?
No. So, and we know that because of Chamber of Secrets. So the Sir Nicholas looks at the basilisk, and even though he looks directly at the basilisk, he is only petrified. A ghost cannot die or like change their sort of immortal state once they become a ghost. So here's actually another fun fact that I forgot to mention along the same vein with Sir Nicholas. So Sir Nicholas looks at the basilisk, which normally would kill somebody when you're looking directly at the basilisk, but again, ghosts can't die. So he is just petrified like all of the other students who encounter the basilisk and don't stare at it directly. And the same mandrake solution, the like tonic that Professor Sprout brews that revives the students, is also what revives Nearly Headless Nick. But we have no idea how it's administered to him.
It's crazy.
I mean, I guess they can eat because, you know, they've got all the rotting food at the Death Day party and they can kind of taste. So perhaps a ghost can like consume things, but we have no idea how it was administered to him because he's a ghost.
Very interesting.
Good question.
Very good question. Okay, so this one's sort of sad, but Devilhorn's Wick says, who would you say out of all of the people who died in the Hogwarts battle would become ghosts? And sort of a follow-up question to that, Megan MCO4 says, do you think Fred became the new ghost of Gryffindor?
Gosh, that makes me sad. I think Fred would have wanted, sort of like with Harry's parents, personally, I think Fred would have wanted to be able to see George in whatever comes next and not be stuck somewhere where George wasn't going to be, unless they both decided to become the Hogwarts. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. I do
too. Yeah, they'd probably have fun, but the deprivation of being a ghost, like the deprivation of worldly pleasures, probably wouldn't have sat well with them.
Yeah, I don't think Fred would have wanted that life for himself. And one of my sort of favorite made up or fan generated thoughts about what happens later in the series, or what happened after the series, I suppose, is that, you know, Fred has a portrait put up at Hogwarts, and his nieces and nephews that he would have never got to meet on Earth are able to go and converse with him and spend time with him, and George can visit him that way. And I just think that's really incredibly beautiful.
That is one of my favorite next gen fan theories, is that the people who died in the Battle of Hogwarts get their portraits put up. So like Teddy can go talk to Lupin and Tonks.
I know. It's not right.
Do you think anybody from the Battle of Hogwarts would have come back as a ghost?
I was having this conversation with my husband actually before I sat down to film the episode today, and he asked me this as well. And I actually think that the students who fought in the Battle of Hogwarts, I mean, really all the people, and definitely the students as well, were so brave and so beyond their years. And I think they would have faced death with, I mean, they really fought defending their home and their school that they love and all of their friends, and just, I think, died with incredibly pure intentions. One thing to think about is, what about the Death Eaters that died at Hogwarts? Would any of them linger?
Oh,
and I like to think of Headmistress McGonagall having no part of that. So I would think the Ministry would not allow.
Like what if Snape had just stuck around? Just like leaning over students' shoulders in potions class, being like, that's wrong. 394. It's kind of a silly thought. My other thought was, now this is, I mean, in reality, this is not funny, but sort of a funny thing to think about. Like, what if like Lavender Brown was like the ghost that hung around? And I think Lavender Brown is unfairly like villainized in these stories. She is annoying, but you know, she gets too much flack just for being like girly.
13-year-old girl, but, yeah.
Yeah, and like, but like, what if she was the ghost that like hung around and like flirted with all the boys, you know?
Yeah, I actually, when I was thinking, like, if I had to pick one person who died in the Battle of Hogwarts to be a ghost, I would pick Lavender Brown. Because I could see her and Myrtle, I feel like Myrtle might finally have a friend, and Lavender and Myrtle could be, like, spirits.
Gossip?
Yeah, they gossip with each other, and they kind of, like, chase after the boys in the hallway, and I sort of like that. Yeah. So if I had to pick one person, I think I'd pick Lavender.
Same.
Morgan VZ said, how long do you think the first ghost was at Hogwarts before a friend came along?
Another TikTok buddy of ours who leaves nice comments. Thank you, Morgan. Read the question to me again.
How long was the first ghost at Hogwarts before a friend came along? I don't think we know. Think
the first ghost at Hogwarts was? Was it Peeves?
Yeah, I guess, well, Peeves is a poltergeist, but yeah, I suppose it was Peeves.
It would have been Peeves because...
And Peeves didn't need a friend.
Because the other house ghosts went to Hogwarts. They attended the school. So what are the Peeves?
And then maybe the Baron and...
He didn't need a friend.
Yeah, maybe the Baron and Helena were soon after. And both were quite desolate. So I don't know that they needed people.
Yeah.
Yes. DalPal19 says, do all people who die in Hogwarts... Dal has asked, do all people who die in Hogwarts become a ghost? Negative.
No, you have a choice.
Well, I don't have any more questions. I think that's it on ghosts. Do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, it prompted some good discussion.
It did. Hey, thanks for listening to our latest episode. As always, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. And if you're not a listener on Apple Podcasts, it would still help us out a lot if you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. If you have any questions, comments, concerns about anything you heard in this episode today, please drop us a line at our Anchor profile. You can leave us a nifty little voice message there, or you can head to our Instagram @thedailyprofcast to DM us or leave us an email.